welcome back into a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We've got a fabulous show to bring you today that's at one of our favorite off-Broadway theaters in the heart of the East Village. And joining us to talk to us about the show, we've got a few of the actors involved, including Alex Scolavino. He's here to speak to us about La Mama's presentation of The Marriage, which is playing September 26th through October 6th at La Mama. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. We are so excited to dive more into this piece, so I don't want to waste any more time. I just want to welcome on our guests. Welcome into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hello. What's up, Andrew? Glad to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy we're talking about this great new work, The Marriage. Could you start, Alex, by telling us a little bit about what this show is about?
Oh, this show, there's much to say that this show is about. I think a little context may be helpful about the playwright. He's a Polish playwright, and his name is Witold Gombrowicz, and he fled Poland. I believe, I'm forgetting the exact year, but it was the 20s, 1920s or 30s around then. And he never returned to Poland. He was in Argentina and he lived a very, he wasn't able to be his full self. As time has gone on, there's been research and records in his writing and his personal diaries that he was perhaps, there's been research that he was perhaps bisexual and closeted. So The Marriage is about a soldier named Henry, who is dying in a war, but in his last moments before he dies, he enters a dream space. And that's where the play takes place, in Henry's mind, as in his final dream before he dies. And the play is called The Marriage, because the marriage represents restoring one to innocence and restoring order in someone's life. So Henry is dealing with a chaotic situation in the war. He's also with the themes that the playwright was dealing with of a closeted bisexual man. There's a lot of desire to restore to purity and innocence, even though the world that this character is in, as the play unfolds, continues to be more and more chaotic as the play goes on. But he fights to restore order as much as possible. That's essentially it. There's more I could give, but I won't give away too much.
And don't give away everything, but that is an incredible story there. And what a journey for this show. So I'm really curious to know, how is it that you came across this piece?
So I was actually friends with one of the actors that got cast in the show. I was having coffee with him and he referred me to the director. And I auditioned. So that was my introduction to this piece. And once I learned about it, I couldn't stop reading about not just the play, but the playwright. There's so much fascinating context around this play and history.
Very cool. Well, I'm really excited because this is the world premiere of this show. This is very exciting. And so with this being the world premiere of this beautiful piece by this incredible artist, what has it been like developing this show?
It's been challenging in many respects. I think the biggest challenge we had to deal with right away was just the rules of the world, because it's not a real world. So as a cast, we all had to kind of syncopate about what are the rules of the world and understand the play enough so that we knew what certain moments represented in the dream world, but also what was going on with Henry in the real world as he's dreaming this. So it's taken a lot of dramaturgy and a lot of personal work for the actors for us to connect to the roles and also understand the context that we're in.
Very cool. Now, you've touched on this already about this world that you're creating that is the mind of this playwright and the difficulty creating these ideas. But I would love to know, you know, is there a message or a thought from this work that you hope audiences take away?
I just hope people take away from this. I hope people can watch this play and maybe have a little bit more perspective about what are roles they're playing in their life? What are marriages or institutions or ideas that they're putting on themselves that maybe don't fit them, that may be maybe hindering who they really want to be? That's a main theme that I think Henry goes through. And a lot of the characters in the play, one of the things Zeeshan, our director, has talked about with us a lot is there's a lot of culture clash. There's a lot of clashing in this play. And the main clashing that happens is really a clash between what intention may be and what actually happens, you know? So I hope people can see this play and maybe have a little bit more perspective about what they intend for their own life and what they hope they can maybe step away from in their life that maybe not be serving them in a way they didn't realize.
I love that idea. I love that idea. I am most recently from Salt Lake. To tie it into a different thought, my wife and I, who've been married for, you know, 4 years now, well, we've been together since we're high school sweethearts. We've actually been together for 17 years. We've lived together for 15 of those 17 years. And once we got married, everyone's like, so what's married life like? How do you feel? And I'm like, it doesn't feel any different. Like, I have a ring on my finger now. That's the only difference. I don't wake up feeling different. I don't, you know, make my coffee any differently. And it's just, it blows my mind the way some people harp on what the idea of marriage should be or whatnot. And it's like, let's get down to the brass tacks of it. You know, it's just, a wedding is a celebration of two people in love. A marriage is a promise between two people. That's what it is. Marriage has nothing to do with everyone else. You know what I mean? It is literally between two people. So I love that you are hoping that audiences take that idea of what a marriage can be or whatnot, because that is an idea that needs to be discussed more and needs to
right.
Be, yeah.
It's great. I'll quote one of the lines in the play because you just touched on it exactly. But the main character, Henry, in his kind of grasp, he's dying, you know? So he's grasping for power, you know? There's things on his mind as he's dying that he's realizing, oh my God, you know, this feels unresolved. This feels unresolved. So he's clinging to this idea of getting married, and he has a line where he says, well, what is really crucial here? Other people, if others acknowledge the sacredness of this act, then, you know, Molly, my soon to be wife, will be a queen for them. And if she's a queen for them, then she's a queen for me. So there is a certain element in this play that you just touched on, which is actually a really core element to this play, which is, how much of what we do is a promise that we're making to ourselves because we believe it? And how much of what we do is something we're doing to keep up appearances of how we want to look to the world? And you just hit that on the head with sharing your experience, you know?
Yes, I love that. That is a brilliant line. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, my final question for this first part is, who are you hoping have access to the marriage?
This is my belief around theater in general right now. I hope there's a healthy amount of people that see it that are fans of the playwright, fans of La Mama, and fans of this type of material. But I also hope there's people that see it that maybe aren't expecting to see it that week or that day, aren't necessarily seeking theater out actively in their life. I hope we can get some people in the audience that are, you know, not expecting to learn something, you know, because I think that's where growth can happen. And I mean, not even learn something, just have a new experience. You know, this is La Mama is known for experimentation, and this play is incredibly abnormal and abstract. It's not linear at all.
Well, on the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a bit more. Pick your brains, if you will. And I would love to start by asking you, what or who inspires you? what playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites?
I draw inspiration from different things all the time, depending on what phases of life I'm in. But the common thread of what inspires me, my family, my mother, my father, my grandmother, my brother, my cousins. I'm an Italian, so I'm very family oriented, and I'm inspired every day by my family and my friends that have shown resilience in their own life. I wouldn't seek art to begin with if I didn't have people that impacted me. And I seek art to understand and grow my connection with those people more.
That is a wonderful list of inspiration. I love that. Love that. I would love to know now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
My favorite part about working in the theater right now, I think is, there's not many spaces that exist where it's the only medium that exists that can only exist in the way it exists, if that makes any sense. You know, you can't have a theatrical experience unless you have real people in the room live. That's the definition of theater. As soon as you film it and you put it, it's something else now. So my favorite part about theater is that just by nature of doing it, it is exactly what it is. And I feel like I like the challenge of it. Every time I do a new play, I'm working with new people. So I have to understand the dynamics of the room. So it keeps me sharp in how I interact with people. And it also keeps me sharp in my skills as an actor. You know, there's always something new that I have to do that's challenging.
That is a fabulous, fabulous answer. That leads to my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I have so many. Oh man, there's like context to a lot of them, but my buddy Yvonne is going to, I'm going to just share this because this is the hardest, one of the hardest times I ever laughed in my life. But we were doing a show at the Globe Theater in London, and he died on stage and I pretended to die on stage. And for whatever reason, when he died, he left his eyes open and somebody else was supposed to close his eyes for him, but they didn't. So like a dedicated actor, he just kept them open for like 4 minutes on stage. So I saw him and I legitimately live thought he was dead. Legitimately. I was like, oh my God, he died for theater because his eyes were wide open and I had a whole monologue I have to give him and he's still not closing it. And finally, I end up picking him up and taking him off stage. And I just remember going, dude, you all right? And he just looked at me and he was in so much pain. And he said, she didn't close my eyes. She didn't close. And then it makes me laugh because it just shows actors want to do so well. Like we want to commit, you know? And here we were young actors and my buddy Yvonne going for it and committing to the point where he was willing to permanently damage his eyes. And it's funny because it's the Globe Theater. It's not like we were in a black box or anything, you know? Like he could have closed his eyes. It wouldn't have been that noticeable. But no, he was committed. So I think about that all the time because it just shows me that there's not much to take seriously about the world of theater. And also there's just, I don't know, it's romantic. Like he really was committed to it.
Hats off to him. That's amazing. That is a great memory, though, to share. Yeah. So thank you very much for it.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Thank you so much for that opportunity. I'm super grateful. I am the founder of a film company called Mindful Lion Films. And I've produced about 4 or 5 films now. 2 have been released and 3 are in post-production right now. And the main aim of my company, it's called Mindful Lion. So a lot of my films are about duality, you know, balancing difficult things with difficult subjects, but maybe with a different angle on looking at it, either through humor or different psychological perspective. So I have a film that can be checked out right now. It's called Getting There, about body image and disordered eating. And I have another film coming out, hopefully within the next couple months, called It's a Match, about two people that perform a medical exam at a laundromat.
Alex, that all sounds fantastic. It sounds like something we definitely need to look into and check out. And listeners, we have a very special thing for you, because joining us now, we have two other company members from the show, Annie Haig and Coyote. Annie, Coyote, welcome in. So glad you were able to make it. I want to backtrack on just a couple of questions now regarding the show, because I'd love to hear some insight from you. So, Annie, I want to first start with you, and I would love to know, what has it been like developing this piece for you?
It's been a wild process. It's a beast of a show. It's a big cast. It's text heavy. It's super, there's a lot of intellectual elements. So in the first week, we were really just like, we were spending a lot of time on table work, just trying to understand this thing. When I was first sent the original script, because we've cut it a lot, which I think has only made it stronger and better. But when I was first sent the original script, which was just like a good translation of the Gombrowicz text a few months ago, I had to read that a few times. I was like, wait, what is happening? So there's a lot to unpack about just what's going on. So we did a lot of work on that. And for my character is super different than in the original. In the original, she's kind of like pretty a passive female character, not a lot of lines, and just kind of a victim in this world. And in Zeeshan's take on this, she has a lot more agency and she's a lot more resistant to what's happening around her. So that is a great departure from the original. And part of what has gone into making her a kind of more interesting and independent character has been giving her a lot of music. So I'm doing a lot of singing in this piece, which is not in the original and which I'm super excited about because I love to sing. So I'm singing a lot, which is great. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Coyote, I want to come to you because I also want to ask you a question I asked earlier, which is, what is the message or thought you're hoping audiences take away from this piece?
Well, okay, that's the question. I think that, you know, the title, The Marriage, can mean so many things, not just like a wedding. Like, there's a marriage of friendship, there's a marriage of like all these other relationships. So that's what I think that the title is encompassing. But when we're talking about like the like themes of the play, it's really about breaking, getting away from the norms of society, and also like tackling them and challenging the norms of society in a way that makes us on stage ask questions. Like, I think part of what we do a lot in this show is think. There's constantly a lot of thinking going on, and we have to play that. I've been in some plays where it's like no one thinks, we just listen and go for it. But for this one, it's like we really have to, like, the act of thinking is something we have to do on stage, right? And I think that that like really helps, because that's a natural way to do it. You know, you don't just make decisions, you have to think about it. My dad always used to tell me, think before you speak. And I think that's like pretty evident in this play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yes. We think as we speak, yes. Or we speak as we think. Yeah, this one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love it. I know we're a little bit short on time, but Annie, Coyote, I cannot let you go without asking my favorite question, which I have already asked Alex, and it was a great memory that he shared. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, I'll say this. I got serious about my craft after doing Aladdin Jr. in middle school. I was an actor before that, but I was a child actor. You know, there was nothing that was really big for me. I just like got a chance to get out of school. So I was just like, yay, you know? But after a while, you know, they dropped me because I wasn't as cute anymore. And, you know, that's like, basically, I just lost my thought.
Aladdin Jr.
Aladdin Jr. Yeah, Aladdin Jr. just really, it was the first time I was like nervous and had butterflies. I'd never felt anything like that before. And that is what kept me going, really. I went to a performing arts high school. I got a BFA in college. I have an MFA, all of that stuff. And it's all because of like Aladdin Jr., I would say. You know? I mean, and also like the way that I got into Aladdin Jr. is I lost a bet. My best friend was just like, hey, if you don't make the varsity football team, you got to do this play with me. I didn't make the varsity football team, so I did the play. And, you know, it was just like unreal. It was an unreal experience. And I feel like every single time I act now, I'm trying to hold on to that as part of my performance because, you know, that changed my life. It was a musical, and I don't really like musicals, but it changed my life, really.
Who were you?
I played Jafar.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was
love
fun.
That. That is a great memory, though. That is wonderful. Thank you for that.
That is a really good memory. And it's funny because my memory is also a middle school theater memory. It's just such a powerful memory for me. I was a singer before I was an actress. I was singing my whole life, like in church when I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old, talent shows, this and that. And I used to do the musical in middle school. And then in eighth grade, we had auditions for Twelfth Night, and I went out for that, and I booked. I got the part of Viola, which is such a great part, and that was my first experience doing a straight play. And after doing Shakespeare, I never looked back, and I wasn't even as interested in musicals anymore after that. I was just like, oh my God, this is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And so working on that show was such a life-changing experience for me. I fell in love with Shakespeare. I fell in love with straight theater as opposed to musical theater. And I also fell in love because the guy playing my twin brother, Sebastian, is kind of weird, but he was like my total crush. And I had my first kiss during that production. And like, it was just, that was a watershed moment in my life. Yeah. Eighth grade, 12th night.
My first kiss was on stage too. That feels like a little.
No, it was not on stage. Oh. We were playing brother and sister. That would be weird. Oh. It was in the boiler room. Under the theater. Oh, at the middle school.
All right. All right.
Okay. That's a way to get it.
I love that memory though. Both of those. All of you. Those were great memories. Thank you for sharing those with us.
Thank you.
Annie Coyote, I want to also offer you the opportunity to let us know if you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a writer. I'm a producer as well. I'm an actor, producer, writer. So
we're all this stuff about
each
other.
I work at the Billie Holiday Theater in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I'm a producer there. And, you know, we just announced our new season. So there's going to be a lot of fun stuff at the theater. I helped curate that with my supervisor. And I'm also a writer. I have two pieces that I've been working on for some time. We'll see what happens with them. One of them is an adaptation of Shakespeare's Nick Bottom and all of his clowns. I kind of took all the lines and put them together into one person. And then the second one is this play about Richard Potter, who was the first like famous Black magician. Hopefully, you know, they can get picked up, but I've been workshopping them a lot.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Anything for you, Annie?
Yeah, a lot of jazz singing gigs coming up. Follow me on IG and keep abreast of those if people are interested in jazz. I also have a solo Shakespeare piece, but mine's about Cleopatra, that I hope to produce. And yeah, that's what's up with me.
For anyone who's going to be in Poland, we're going on tour in Poland at a festival. So if you're in Poland, you can come see it as well. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. We'll be in Poland October 15th to October 23rd.
Yes. I mean, I'll be there to the 31st, but.
Night, me too. So you can link with me in Coyote until the 31st.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. And a perfect lead in to my final question for all three of you, which is if our listeners would like more information about the marriage or about any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
They can check the website, lamama.org, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some detail. There are details there if it's been updated. And, you know, we post about it sometimes. You can just follow the Instagram and follow us individually. I don't really post, but I got a lot of stories. So
it, me too.
Yeah, you know, so that's also something too that they can learn more about it.
Yeah, my Instagram is at Annie Haig, AnnieHagg.
Yeah, I mean, reach out to me on Instagram at Mindful Lion, which is the same as my film company. Mindful as in mindfulness and lion as in roar.
Well, wonderful. Well, Annie, Coyote, and Alex, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing your wonderful insight and those fabulous stories. It has been so wonderful chatting with you. So thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to us and asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Come see the marriage.
Yeah, come see it.
My guests today have been three amazing performers, Annie Haig, Coyote, and Alex Galvino, who joined us to talk about their show being presented by La Mama, The Marriage. It's playing September 26th through October 6th at La Mama, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts, but head over right now to lamama.org. Get your tickets for this wonderful world premiere. The show again is The Marriage, playing September 26th through October 6th. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, have a plan to cast your ballot, and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register and vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about theater
in a stage whisper. Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.